the management already at Silicon Valley Bank, they're all gone. A lot of it falls on their mismanagement. But it seems that that's kind of what happened. And that's a scary thing.
That's cute.
Hold on. Yep.
That's real cute.
Wait, Sam, what do you think happened?
When people ask, is everything a conspiracy? The answer is yes. Who and what is controlling everything and why? They practice sorcery. I can't argue against magic. I don't know what it is that we live on, but I believe it's a realm. This realm that we live in is the lowest level of heaven, highest level of hell. Chicken, snake gods, and the Anunnaki, and sorcery. If Sam says the chicken snake god is running everything, I'm literally in the world of crazy. I'm winning.
You're losing.
Conspiracy Social Club, a.k.a. Deep Waters.
Welcome to Conspiracy Social Club, a.k.a. Deep Waters, a.k.a. Highway to the Danger Zone.
Touchy subject.
Ryan's going through a crisis right now, nope. Identity crisis. He wants to kind of stop comedy, get into theater.
Musical theater,
yeah. Singing, dancing.
Yes, singing and dancing.
Yeah.
The thing is, I also want to be fluent on the guitar and inspired on the piano. And of course, when I want something that sticks to my ribs, a bang on the drums. You understand? Now,
you want to be that guy at the Venice Boardwalk that plays all the instruments at once?
I don't want to be anybody on the Venice Boardwalk, but I do want to be somebody who is on Broadway. And because Broadway is the highest bar artistically. And I will say this, everybody. I watched Hadestown, won all the Tonys and everything else. And I wrote so much on the plane. And if you come to my stand-up, I want to apologize to everybody because it's going to shake you up. Because daddy back.
Where'd daddy go?
Daddy licking his wounds in a corner.
Oh, why daddy licking wounds?
Daddy back coming this weekend, Levity Live. Be ready because taking no prisoners. Hope you like wearing chains.
So it's very interesting because I also struggle. Because for most of my life, my process of stand-up was go to a comedy store, go to an improv, work on the jokes there, and then you go on the road, which was kind of opposite what a lot of people do, where they would go on the road, work on the bits, and then bring it back to LA, polish, so the industry would see it. But we'll get into the industry and all that stuff. But so it's like the process is very interesting because where in your act do you do to your new material? Do you just jump into it? Do you do some stuff, you know, creates credit with the crowd, even though they love you?
Yeah, and I do that. You know, I was in New York and I was at Sony Hall. I had such a good time and I did some stuff and I just kind of stopped and I went, now that's a new bit. Now, and it's not all there and I get that from you, but in 3 to 6 months, it's going to crush.
Be fire.
So we'll see you soon.
You know?
And I do that now, you know.
Do you feel this immense pressure to get a laugh every 2 seconds?
Yes,
all the time?
Always.
I'm trying to get away from that.
Yeah, I am too.
I really do think like I've been going on the road, dude, and I've been doing like when I do my own shows, bro, I really am starting to do one show of stand up and then the second show is just me ranting. Mm. And if there's any laughter in it, that's bonus.
Yeah.
But it's like, I call it the revival.
Why are you ranting? What are you trying to do?
Because I want to talk about stuff without the pressure of a laugh. Mm. And that I know I'm going to get the laugh because I'm funny.
I don't think that's what you're trying to do. Are you trying to convince people? Are you trying to change some minds? Because I think when you do stand up, you feel passionately about certain things, right?
Right.
Are you sure that that's what you're doing? Or are you trying to, at the end of the day, change some minds or bring people together under one roof.
In-depth conversations without the pressure of making people laugh. Where are you going to be, Brian?
Then get out of stand-up.
What?
Hey. All right, let's
Thank
go.
You.
Let's get to
Thank
work.
Thank you for doing that.
Let's get to work.
Thank
let's
you.
Get to
Thank
work.
You. Thank
we
you.
Have
Thank
a lot of stuff that
Brian,
I'm going
to where are you going to be?
Levity
Please.
Live. Levity Live this weekend. Don't worry about that. In Nyack, West Nyack, New York. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Let's go. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Sam Triple. I'm going to be at Lock Cave Comedy in Costa Mesa, Yuma, then Toronto. I'm at Yuma
Ooh,
on March 25th.
The Royal
then
Comedy
Toronto.
Center. Wow.
Doing a tiny little theater out there, doing a bunch of shows. Great. And a lot of yelling, a lot of screaming.
Great. Now,
SamTripoli.com.
Is this Christian Cruz or is this Rockfin?
Christian Cruz, and you've only said one F-bomb, so that's actually really good.
Who said it?
Him.
Of course, the unprofessional guy telling the comedian who's been doing it 30 years to get out comedy. Gotcha.
I don't remember.
Gotcha. How supportive have I been to you? And I'm just telling you, I'm going on this journey, and you're like, get out of comedy. Wow.
No, I love that you're doing comedy, and I love that you're on this journey, and we keep evolving.
A lot of greatness. Brian, did you watch any of the Oscars?
No, I don't do that.
You
never
don't.
Have. No, because it's a party I'm not invited to, so I take my ball and I go home. And
okay,
I sulk in the
okay,
corner.
Okay.
Yeah. And I it's because I'm not included, and if I ever was included, if I had ever made it as an actor to that degree, it would be my favorite night, and I would be so happy.
Thank you for
and
your
I would,
honesty.
I would love everybody in Hollywood and around me. All I've ever wanted to be was accepted by those people.
Yeah.
And the closest I ever came was going to Sylvester Stallone's house a couple of times and mingling with people like, you know,
and creeping
Al Pacino.
On his daughters.
No, I never creeped on. I love his daughters because they're so much younger. And I was always there with my lady. But they are, those, I love, I don't know how the Stallones did it, but those girls may as well be Jersey girls. Their feet are on the ground, and I think it's because their mother. First of all, dad like was obsessed with them. He loves them. But their mother grew up on a farm, and there's discipline in that household.
Yeah.
Discipline.
Yeah. Oh.
Oops.
Yep.
Brian! Sorry.
I can't believe you're the dirty comic on the show.
Yeah.
So one thing I just want to get
back
into.
Back to the Oscars. Well, I need you to
I was
take.
So happy
yeah.
because I don't want to watch it. Dana loves it. She still buys into it. Fine, watch it. I had to do a bunch of stuff. But it was so great to see a movie get the love it deserved, which was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Great movie.
Do you see the movie?
Yes.
Loved
it.
It's a top five movie for me personally of the movies I love.
Amazing movie.
Amazing movie. And it was great to see. Now, what's crazy about that movie is that five people edited on that movie. And guess what? Guess where they learned to edit from? YouTube.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that?
Makes sense. Did you see The Whale?
I did not.
I love that Brendan Fraser won an Oscar.
Funny was it that like all the 80s actors all won last night?
Who else won?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Michelle Yeoh.
Gosh.
People were very upset at Jamie Lee Curtis's award.
Why?
Because they felt as though it was undeserved and that the great Angela Bassett should have won for her performance.
Well,
in
Angela
Wakanda
Bassett,
forever.
I'm sorry,
in
is
Wakanda
just.
Wakanda forever.
Yeah, she yelled a lot and passionately, so I get it, but also shut up.
Yeah, it's this whole thing about, and sometimes cliches, and I don't even know if this is a cliche, but it kind of falls under it, is like, watch out when you give people special treatment because they think equality is offensive, right? Right? Like, dude, you got a fuck, you, I didn't say it, I caught it. You got an Oscar nomination for a Marvel movie. Like, if you don't think that diversity had anything to do with that, you should just be like, I can't even believe I'm here. I'm just going to chill. I mean, unbelievable that you were sitting there and going, wah, I didn't win. Because Jamie Lee Curtis is in an insanely amazing movie that if you actually went and watched it, you'd realize that there's an infinite versions of me, infinite amount of them. And I can tap into all of them. I just have to figure out how to do it. That was
Jamie Lee Curtis. She was in Everything Everywhere. All
yeah,
yeah,
I don't remember her in that.
She was great.
The tax woman.
Oh my god.
Yeah, she.
Oh my god.
And then she was the lesbian with the hot dog fingers.
Oh dude, you got to give it up.
Come
you
on,
got to give it up.
That was great.
Oh my
She's
god,
a crazy
that's
person.
Right. She was the tax lady.
Jamie Lee Curtis is a crazy person. But the point is to be like to think Wakanda. Listen, dude, by all accounts, I mean, first of all, Jimmy Kimmel shouting out the woman king at the Oscars is the most offensive
thing.
Yeah. He goes, and there's some movies that didn't get any love, like The Woman King, which is based on a true story. No.
No, it's not. What happened to Jimmy Kimmel? Jimmy Kimmel is so disappointing.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, stop it. Just stop it.
You got a nice beard. Be happy.
I don't believe him. He was a good guy. He was a great guy. And now he's doing this silly behavior.
Now it's so funny because they're talking about the ratings and it's like, it's 18 million. On television, people would stab their mother for 18 million views on anything.
You mean Oscar? That's not a lot?
That people are saying it's in the shit. I go, 18 million on television outside the NFL is humongous.
That's a lot.
Now, when you compare it to old ones, it's like the old Oscars used to get like 50 million views.
So it was what 10 movie? Mil in 2021, 16, 2022, 18, almost 19 this year.
So it was 10 mil when?
2021.
So it's gone up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a problem, again, with some people on the right. They spin everything negative.
Yeah.
And that's just their channels. Like, oh, this is dying. It's like, when I saw 18 mil, I'm like, I think that's a little better than I thought it was going
to
do.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
And they also kept the wokeness to a little bit. But, man, you listen to
They brought the wokeness down a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I appreciate that.
But you all having these people complain. Like, there were no female directors nominated. Maybe they didn't make any good movies.
Yeah, maybe they didn't make any good movies.
I mean, like, what are we talking about?
Maybe they sucked.
Yeah.
You know, the when CBS wants half their writers to be non-white, it's like, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what this... What are we doing here?
Yeah,
what is
it's hilariously stupid.
But what is this? That we need a hierarchy of competency. Who's the best? Definitely in science. You know, in medical schools, they're like, we need to diversify. You need people to pass the tests.
Yeah.
You need that. If I'm going into surgery,
I want the best of the best.
I always say that. I don't care if the guy's a cannibal.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's white.
Dude, I don't care if he has like one of these, like,
I do care about that. I care about. I need his hands to work.
No, but what if he's the best at heart surgery, but he's like got these T-Rex arms?
Well, you're talking about like a thalidomide wing.
Yeah, but he's really great at like heart surgery.
Then I'll take him.
Exactly.
Well, there were conspiracies afoot.
Oh, snaps. Let's get into it. Enough of this musical theater touch.
Pinocchio won best animated film.
That's Pauly Shore. Pauly Shore played Pinocchio. Do you know that? Nobody knows that.
Hold on. What?
So who was Pinocchio? A guy named Pauly Shore. How exciting is that?
Hold on. No. It's got to be a different guy because I would be hearing all about it.
Why don't you go ahead and look that up because it's going to blow your mind.
Our Pauly Shore. No. Where? He's not even in the Where? I would know about that. Where is he?
We need a drop for when someone, and it's not only Brian, but when somebody's like cataclysmically incorrect about something.
Wait,
but they literally made jokes about Pauly Shore.
Look up Pauly Shore
because all this everybody from Encino Man was nominated that night.
Wait,
except for Pauly Shore.
But let me look up Pauly Shore Pinocchio.
He was in a different Pinocchio called Pinocchio: A True Story, which came out in 2021.
Oh damn it! I thought I've been texting him, congratulating him on Pinocchio winning. Like best in his game, Guillermo del Toro. Because if you ever hear him, he played it. He did the podcast.
Dude, don't you know the entire Comedy Store would be decorated in Oscar if he was up for anything?
I had no idea.
But with it winning and all, Guillermo del Toro was waiting in the wings, a little suspicious. And then immediately when they went to commercial break, a massive ad for Disney's.
Oh, yeah.
For Disney what?
Disney's new slate of programming and what's coming to Disney Plus.
Yeah, that would be just good marketing. And there's no conspiracy here. I don't even know what we're talking about. Guillermo del Toro is an insanely talented guy. Of course he won. This isn't the first time. And he's one of the greatest directors, period. And I guess after that, they ran ads for Disney because they're like, if you like this movie, let's see this one.
Yeah, but the question is how do they know that that ad at that moment.
Because they have that ready at all times. When you're nominated, when you're nominated, you have commercials waiting in the wings for if you win. If you didn't have that, it'd be crazy. They do that all the time. So you have so many wins in Oscar.
They had multiple commercials waiting. Yes,
they always do that.
You're being a conspiracy theorist right
now.
No.
Yeah. That's good business.
What happens? What happens if I don't run? I don't win. They don't run the ad and I don't owe them a mill?
So if there's a Super Bowl, okay, if there's a Super Bowl, they have commercials. They actually shoot commercials.
Yeah, but that's different, Brian.
With the winning quarterback and the losing quarterback, and they run whatever.
Yeah, but Brian, that's totally different.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Disney does that. Dude. That's a terrible conspiracy. Moving on.
No, it's not a terrible conspiracy.
Dumb conspiracy.
Because what we're telling is that people can buy their Oscars. That's what we're insinuating.
People can't buy their Oscars, but they can campaign well for their Oscars, so they have parties, and it's like a political campaign. Yeah,
that's true. So Disney bought it. They knew they were going to win. That's why they put the ad there. Yeah,
good point. Point, Dylan. Correct. Minus Brian.
Actually, very good conspiracy.
By the way, do you know that the chick who is in the lead in Everything Everywhere All at Once, that is in like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon,
Michelle Yeoh,
she's never taken martial arts class. Really? She's never learned a martial arts.
Wow. I think she was an acrobat though.
But the Disney conspiracy goes deep.
Oh, let's hear it. I love it.
Deep.
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of stuff going on at Disney that Brian might not know about. Disney is hemorrhaging right now. And so what they've said is, it's so interesting.
Are they though? Because they have such great
movies. Okay. All right. Am I talking?
Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. So Disney, look at that. Bam.
Oh, damn.
So Disney is super interesting because Disney, they got rid of their woke CEO. They got a new CEO. And yeah, so they got this new guy in, and he's like, they got to get rid of, what is it, 7,000 employees?
Bob Iger? Is that who runs Disney?
I think they rehired him.
They rehired an old guy. He's like, we're slashing all prices here. So one thing, and it's very interesting how he said this, maybe we've made too many movies about the same characters too much, which is a nice way of saying our woke way of operating is killing us.
Yeah.
We're making woke stories that nobody. So I was watching last night because I'm really into The Mandalorian, and like the new episodes don't come out till Wednesday, but I thought they were, because usually the big day to release stuff is Sunday, but for some reason Mandalorian is now on Wednesdays. But the point is, so I went to go watch another series that they had. It wasn't Boba, Obi-Wan. And man, you could not get more woke if you wanted to. Opening, and it was so annoying.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what the big thing. Obi-Wan, too woke, garbage. Bang! Now nobody watched that. Yeah. They spent all this money on that, and nobody watched it.
They lost me when they fired Gina Carano for doing nothing.
Yeah.
For expressing herself.
Right.
And they were just looking to do that. So I can't stand... Once I saw that, I was like, you guys are scumbags. Well,
they had two brands that were super bankable, Marvel and Star Wars. So they opened up this giant Star Wars hotel, right? Dude, two nights stay, guess how much it would cost you to stay in this hotel?
How much?
$22,000.
There you go.
All right?
Theater for the elite.
Right?
Everything for
with
the elite.
With like $12 Budweiser's and a $15 mixed drinks.
Yep.
So nobody went. So he's like, oh, dude, we're hemorrhaging.
It says it has no, thanks to the presence of streaming platform, audience have more options than ever when it comes to choosing what to watch. As soon as vaccines made it possible for production studios to pick back up in COVID after the COVID-19 lockdown, there was a surge in original content. Leading the pack was Disney, thanks to a large part to its impressive library of valuable intellectual property. I don't know.
Not a good part of the article.
Disney is trimming down its content.
They're getting away from Star Wars and Marvel because they're over-leveraged, like a certain bank that we'll be speaking about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they just put out too much, and it's all woke. Like, when had the big Thor movie, and at the end, Lady Thor saves the day, people are tired of that.
Because they don't believe it.
Yeah, well, it's not real. It's like what I've been getting into. It's like Like, women are the most sensitive they've ever been. They can't take a fucking joke, but in every movie, they're beating the shit out of every freaking ninja.
Well, I watched Woman King. I watched some of that.
Why?
And I'm like, I'm watching these women beat up all the guys, and they're like martial arts. They're being like guys. It's like women are now like guys, and it's I understand. It's like, you know,
someone broke down that if there was any chance that was real, the only reason those women are fighting because all the men had gotten slaughtered.
that's exactly right.
Do you guys want to see a picture of you two?
What? What? Yeah, gladly, bro.
That's you two right now.
Yeah, gladly.
Look, I'm just saying women...
Listen, Marxist, okay? Please tell me why stating facts is like being an old man racist.
Well, the conspiracy surrounding this is about ESG scores, Vanguard, yes, and BlackRock. Yes,
yes, yes, yes.
So can you please educate Brian on this because he's asleep?
Yeah, Brian. So
let me just say about women warriors. There are some bad that what the military, the United States military, and other militaries in the world have some badass female.
I don't
want to
get into it too much. I saw Serena Williams.
She's no
5 feet away. I felt like I was watching a fucking 300 walk by.
She's as thick and strong as it gets. That's a whole different level of athlete.
Of please human being. That. That's a Brock Lesnar human being.
I spent some time with her. Yep. I know. Now, there are women.
I want to make kids.
There are women,
her.
Though. There are Spartan women that nobody
to
knows
get
about.
Her pregnant.
Well, there are Spartan women that nobody knows about.
Shoot up
in the
club.
Military that do their
I
want to
shoot that club up.
Yeah.
Just spray it down.
You're trying to make a salient point right now, and you are allowed to give him a yellow card because he's talking about coming while you're trying to talk.
That's right. Thank you.
Go on. I'm sorry, Brian. I've cut you off.
There are squadrons of woman kings, and they are in the military. It's just that when I see women beating the crap out of men in hand-to-hand combat, I get a chuckle. That's all. I get a chuckle.
Well, I love that you get a chuckle about women fighting, and your chuckle is as queenie as possible.
I get a chuckle. Now, there are women in the UFC that can give me a real beat.
Oh, yeah,
and that's
for sure.
Obvious because I'm
for
an sure. old man.
For sure.
And I don't train, and I have delicate hands. But the thing that I'm saying is the mean aggregate, if I may use that word, is that men are way fucking stronger than girls.
Yeah, for sure. What
and
is this?
Way better at fighting.
What is this?
This is a list of the top 10 most fierce warriors who are female and in history.
Fu Ho?
Don't believe it. Fu Ho? Don't believe it.
She commanded 13,000 soldiers.
No, that's a guy who transitioned.
Okay, back in 12 BC before Christ, the guy was
Fu Ho. If you have to go all the way back to 1200 BC, we got problems.
Listen, I guarantee you that there are anomalies that come through of these, like a Serena Williams, who like, if we were in wartime, like hand-to-hand combat, she wouldn't be a tennis player. She'd just be out there ripping dicks, okay?
Yeah, but she would then have to face...
How come all these chicks who kick ass were before Christ? Did Christ just put a stop to that? All right, I'm here. Couple things. I'm the son of God, and stop fighting, bitches, okay? Get back. Get back in the kitchen, barefoot, pregnant. I'm the son of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Jesus was a chauvinist.
Somebody find me a hooker to walk around with.
All right.
But anyway, so...
Well, by the way, did you ever hear that the real truth is that Mary was his wife, and they've been demonizing Mary?
Maybe.
Because they don't
that
want
makes sense.
People to think Jesus had kids.
That makes sense.
It's true.
Go on.
He went into the bowels of Hades while he was on the cross for 3 days in between an innocent thief and a guilty one. Can you tell him about Vanguard and BlackRock, please?
Give me the Vanguard BlackRock
situation. So basically what's going on, you know this is, we've talked about this before, how there's four banks that basically own up to anywhere from 20 to 30% of every major company out there. They own anywhere 12. Each, and then they each own a part of each other, so they do kind of move in a one
like a monolith, like a juggernaut.
And basically, BlackRock and Vanguard are the ones who are pushing all of
ESG.
This ESG stuff.
Why are they doing that?
Well, I mean, do you want the truth? It's all about just basically destabilizing America. That's what it's about. Get everybody to fight with each other. That's what this is all about. If you haven't, It's cultural Marxism.
But a huge part of their portfolio is contingent upon a good U.S. economy.
Well, Brian, that's super interesting, seeing that BlackRock runs the Fed, and every couple of years, they get a giant bailout to clean up all their mistakes. So the whole point is this, Brian.
No, he just looks pissed.
Yeah, he does look pissed. So what's super interesting, Brian, is that the Vanguard has pulled all their money out of this one company that was kind of in charge of pushing the ESG out. And NetGuard or Net something, they pulled their $7 trillion company. They pulled all their money out. So this is the beginning, I believe, of you're going to start seeing the woke stuff start to go away. But it brings us into this bank, right? Is that why you wanted to do the lead to the bank?
Yes, exactly.
So the bank,
they have pulled out a ton of money from climate initiatives.
Yeah, so climate initiatives. Good. But it's also woke shit. A lot of the woke shit. What?
Well, he just said good, and he's Gran Torino once again. He's on the porch with a shotgun.
No.
I'm saying, my problem, go away.
My problem with the climatologist, the climate.
Yeah. Are you a climate alarmist?
No, my problem with the climate alarmist is only that I think it's a mistake to think that you are going to make a difference in global temperatures by passing all this hardcore regulation. I don't think that's what gets it out of this. If the globe is indeed warming as a result of human activity, okay? If that's the case, could be solar flares, could be a combination of things. I think we get out of that with innovation, with coming up with cleaner ways and breakthroughs in material sciences. You don't do it with lithium batteries, everybody.
Well, my opinion is,
you don't do it with cobalt. You don't do it with all that stuff.
Brian, oil is a gift from God who created this realm. It is given to us to help us grow as humanity. And that's why these fucking demons are out here.
Your Honor, he's talking about demons again.
These demons are out here disparaging oil. What?
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor.
Why?
He called for it.
Okay, yeah. Respect.
Yeah. Let's get back. Let's bring our
feet. They're just demonizing oil. Well, that's it. And I think oil is given us by the gods to help humanity grow. And that's why they're demonizing
everything around you. Requires
exactly
oil. How you grow your food, everything in this phone,
exactly,
the materials,
bro,
in your car,
exactly,
plastics in your body.
Absolutely. Do you think that innovation can thrive in a oligopolic environment?
So the answer is yes.
Well, that's okay,
but I think innovation needs to I think innovation will thrive when the barriers to entry are lowered. And when you decide,
for sure,
when you decide that the scientific world, engineering schools, physics schools, mathematical schools, need more women or need more this, that, and the other thing, instead of just saying, if you got the brains, come on in. If you can pass these impossible tests, come on in. I believe in meritocracy, especially when it comes to science. I want to take all the stigma and barriers away from brilliant minds. I don't want brilliant minds having to worry about being canceled because they might chase skirt.
Total accident.
Or was it?
Best and brightest minds unfettered with the resources to come up with great science.
Brian, you know what's super interesting? Innovation. Is that when you get into universal basic income, there's this notion, and I get a lot of shit for saying this, but you know, there is a great motivator that comes with poverty, right? When you're poor and you're like, I gotta figure out a way to get out of this. Now, some people turn to drugs and illegal activity, and we had a debate on what is legal, what isn't legal, but is something illegal also immoral? So we can get into that. That's a different discussion. But there's some people who turn their energy into illegal activities to try to make a quick buck. And then there's also people who go, I have to figure out how I'm going to get me and my family out of this haunted area of this realm that we live in. And that's my opinion on these.
Well, universal basic income, according to Andrew Yang, was interesting because he said, I would never give enough money so you could get out of poverty. What I would do, though, is I'd give like $12,000 a year. That extra $1,000 for a mother with two kids who's working two jobs, that extra grand goes a long way.
Yeah.
Because that extra grand pays for rent, or that extra grand pays for after school programs.
Yeah, I get that. I'm not against that.
So he said that's interesting. If you're a waiter and you're working in a diner and you have to count your pennies, or in a factory or a slaughterhouse, that extra grand for a mother with two is pretty amazing, because it will get you just that a little bit of breathing room. Just a little bit. Like, here's an extra grand a month. Man, that goes a long way.
Well,
nutritious food.
I help out class. One of my cousins. I help one of my cousins.
Yeah.
Without getting too much into it, I help one of my cousins out, and she's been very thankful. Like, she's like, you've really helped. And my younger cousin's going to be going to college, so they won't need the help anymore. But it's like, she's like, and it's not a lot of money, but she's like, that little bit of money you do give us is like a difference maker. So I do understand that. Yeah. I just get to where, when we start talking about, universal basic income and diversity and all this shit, it starts like really starting to look like communism, dude.
It's socially engineered equality. If you're going to socially engineer
equality, which becomes communism.
Well, you can do some of it. It's just there are degrees here. We already have Medicaid and entitlement
programs. What? He's rubbing his legs. What?
Yeah. Let's get into another conspiracy.
Hold on.
I was just about to play the Shire on you guys.
Let's go.
Because it's a sweet story about your cousin and all. But
let's go.
That is a sweet story.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go.
Go on.
Well, the reason why we do need regulations is because of things like Silicon Valley Bank.
Yeah. So, Brian, what is your thoughts on that?
I think what happened with Silicon Valley, I've talked to some people who are in the financial world. I think what happened to Silicon Valley Bank was simply that they had miscategorized and characterized some of their collateral. And the fact that treasury bonds went down in value so quickly because the economy was shitty, and then more people bought treasury bonds, and therefore the price goes down, the yield goes down, that collateral didn't seem as safe. So a bunch of people went, and they had this is management's fault. They had disclosed this, but they disclosed it way too late. And they go, some of our collateral is actually losing value because it's in treasury bonds, and we may have mischaracterized what actually is coming to terms and what's not. There are certain, there are technicalities. And everybody went, what? $250,000 is insured by the federal government, but I have a lot more than $250,000 in there. I'm going to take it out. And once that gets out there and panic hits, everybody does a run on the bank.
Those are interesting statements you just said.
Yeah, like and so one of the things that my friend said is there's probably no bank out there that could sustain a run on the bank. Like when everybody goes, I got to take all my money out. No one has those reserves. So I think that the management already at Silicon Valley Bank, they're all gone. A lot of it falls on their mismanagement. But it seems that that's kind of what happened. And that's a scary thing.
That's cute.
Hold on. Yep.
That's real cute.
Wait, Sam. What do you think happened?
So basically what's going on is that the Federal Reserve and the New World Order, they basically want to consolidate all the independent banks into the big five or seven major banks so that they can slowly but surely bring in Federal Reserve cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. That will enslave all of us. So this is all done on purpose. This is the create. So what happens is you have this tiny little bank.
It wasn't tiny. It was the 16th largest bank in America.
This tiny little bank.
16th largest.
Okay, 16th largest bank.
It's a very
bank.
Big bank.
Okay, no. It's a big bank because all these tech people are putting their money into it.
Venture
but capitalist. In the world, VC, it's not a big bank, meaning it's not Chase.
There's huge, huge deposits
there. Yeah, because it's a shady-ass New World Order, woke-ass bank.
Wait, hold on.
Okay?
Hold on.
So let me finish my point. I let you go on forever. And I just sit there going, will he ever stop?
Go ahead. Tell me why.
Okay.
Tell me why.
So this is how they make the banks collapse. Okay?
That's how?
So they start a run on a bank, and then you have all of these limited hangouts going, oh, bank run, better get your money out. Now everybody starts pulling their money out of all these banks, and bang, it collapses.
Sam.
Bam.
Sam.
That's exactly how it goes.
Sam, you're starting to sound like big bombs go boom.
Yeah, big bombs go boom.
I need you to brush up a little bit on some of your financial.
It's a controlled demolition.
Sam,
I love Ryan, that. Ryan, it's a controlled demolition.
You're saying a lot of words in the air as usual. Yeah,
controlled demolition.
No, it's a great word.
It's being done on purpose.
You heard that somewhere.
They want to collapse all the indie banks so they can buy them up.
I know, but can you not go to nothing.com and come here and talk this way? Okay. Because you're saying...
Right. That's rude, bro.
No, he's saying nothing.
Hey, can I hit him?
Yeah.
I think I should hit him with a yellow card.
Hey, he's saying nothing.
I'm hitting him with a yellow card. One more, dude. You can't talk for 5 minutes. I can talk about anything I want.
Yeah. So this is how it usually goes. You hear truth from the hipster of truth, and then you hear another... Well, talking head the same thing, and then you believe
that's
it.
That's exactly what will happen.
Listen.
Their goal is to collapse the banking so they can consolidate it and then get everybody on cryptocurrency, the Federal Reserve cryptocurrency. That's literally the game plan.
Nobody wants to do that.
What?
Sam, the SVB.
How long till we're in the new studio?
SVB collapsed.
How long?
SVB collapsed. Very simply, there are a lot of people who can tell you that study banking. They can point to exactly how it happened.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's happened many times before.
Right.
For a reason. Now, when those banks collapse,
yes,
like they did in 2008.
Yes.
Huge banks, right?
Yeah.
They got bailed out.
Hey,
They paid the loans back with interest, right?
Brian.
Paid the loans back. And the banks are still going, and we don't have cryptocurrency. and Silicon Valley National Bank came as a result of that.
Brian, listen to me.
And it'll be made whole again. Now we're going to learn.
Brian, in 2008.
Collateralize all your deposits with U.S. Treasury bonds.
Was a controlled demolition as well.
I know, and we're back and running, and everything's fine.
But Brian, that doesn't matter.
And the government made money.
It's so hard to yell and laugh at the same time.
And the government made money.
To yell and laugh.
Sam, Brian,
Goldman Sachs torpedoed the economy because they bought insurance on a real estate portfolio that they told their own clients to invest in it, fully knowing it was going to fucking collapse.
Sam.
What?
That's a very simplified.
Brian, do not tell me I'm not right.
That's a very
simplified. Do not tell me I'm not right, Brian.
Simplified version of it, Brian.
It was done on purpose so Goldman Sachs could collect on the insurance.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sam.
Can I put something forward to...
Sure.
Okay, maybe prod at the various chinks in your armor.
There are none, but go on. I mean, this will be adorable. What are you going to do? Shoot a BB gun at my tank?
2008, when the Great Recession comes.
Ooh.
Hank Paulson.
Bing, bing, yeah. Bing,
Geithner.
Yeah. Bing, bing, bing,
bing. They orchestrate
bing, 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 bing,
a bailout in the form of conglomeratization.
Yep.
Bing, 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 bing,
yep.
Bing, bing.
Yes.
Did an amazing job.
Thank you.
Wachovia acquired by Wells Fargo. Merrill Lynch acquired by Bank of America.
Yep. Did a great job. Bought a bunch of toxic assets.
No, that's what happens, Brian.
Bear Stearns acquired by JP Morgan.
Toxic assets.
Yeah.
They had no assets. Their assets were toxic. They were mulch.
Hot garbage.
Instead of being made out of strong lumber.
You're treasury bonds right now, Brian.
Let me give you an idea of the difference. When I speak, my philosophical and political points of view and my understanding of the world is right. Really,
I know when you're trying to come up with bullshit.
No. Sorry. The foundation for which I stand. Brian's is made, legs.
Yes.
Well, it's made of bolo wood. And bolo wood is a very dense wood found in the deepest jungles of Africa. Okay? Bolo wood is something you make nunchaku out of. Sorry, but that's Japanese for nunchucks if you're getting serious about war. Okay.
That is a very,
hold on. Who's bringing nunchucks to war, Brian?
Coco Bolo wood is a very, very sturdy
land.
Wood.
Can I get fancy land? Wood, Brian,
I mean, that's a deep, deep wood.
Nunchucks to war.
I am Coco Bolo. Okay. I am Coco Bolo. So when you listen to me, please understand, you are nourished with Coco Bolo. And when the winds blow, and they will always blow, Coco Bolo stands for, I'll be your shelter.
Do we even know what you're talking about?
Now, your foundation, your philosophy, whether it's political, philosophical, or practical, is made of mulch.
Oh, man.
It's just mulch. And as we know by now, on episode 223, that when it comes to mulch, if you want to take it apart, one need only go like this.
Oh, man.
And blow I do. But I don't blow hard because I love my mulchy friend.
But what are we talking about right now, kid?
We're talking about the fact that you don't have a foundation to speak on finance.
Okay, Brian. I cannot wait.
Do we want to try to get him to understand it from a different talking head?
Yes, I would like it.
One with a lot of validity.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Dare I say a foundation of Coco Bolo?
Yeah, Coco Bolo Foundation. Let's hear it. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Here we go.
I read his book.
Go back the last 6 months. Just grab 4 or 5, because I know I said it about 100 times. Times that I said, next they'll start collapsing regional and lending banks to consolidate them into the big 6 globalist banks. Known the private Federal Reserve and the European Union Bank and the rest of it. And then out of that, they will call for central bank digital currencies to be rolled out. Just on Wednesday, Biden, the third administration of Obama, put out his big new national directive. In fact, I forgot to repull that from Wednesday Stack, the big quote, new cybersecurity initiative. And you read it, it's really to roll out a central bank digital currency that tracks and controls everything you do. And they'll try to ban all the normal cryptocurrencies that are actually independent and decentralized power. That's all announced in there. And I said on Wednesday, look for them to crash the regional banks to bring in total control. We know the enemy's playbook. I said, will it be a banking collapse and the central bank digital currency cashless society rollout? Will it be a cyber attack to bring that in? Will it be both? Will it be a massive new terror attack, an escalation of the war? These are all cards, because I've been looking over the enemy's shoulder, what they got in their hand. I don't know exactly how they're going to play the cards. I don't know when they're going to play the cards, but I know what cards they got, and that's a lot.
I love Alex Jones because he's very good at looking at the world in binary code. Good guys, bad guys. Good guys, bad guys. Simple. No. What do you mean? Why are you? So you're just keeps, you just, you Pinocchio son of a bitch. You look like you're made of wood. You're going.
You can curse now.
Motherfucker.
Brian, it's okay, bud.
Listen. Alex Jones loves breaking things down to biblical proportions.
And he's. True.
Good and evil.
And he's been right.
Good and evil. Elitists, all the rest of us. It's a great narrative. Unfortunately, it doesn't.
Brian.
It's still made of
what
mulch.
What are you talking about?
It's made of a higher mulch.
Brian.
And sometimes mulch, when it's stacked very high and packed
Brian,
firmly,
what
can be rather overwhelming. It can be rather overwhelming.
About? What are you talking about?
A balsa
about?
House.
What? Are you talking
a house made
about?
Of balsa can look sturdy.
Dude, this guy's been right about everything, including gay frogs, okay? He's right about gay frogs.
Listen, Alex Jones is a very theatrical man.
And he's right. A lot, Brian. A whole lot.
I would say there's a difference between being able to predict something like digital currency and understanding why it's happening.
Okay.
There is a worry that technology in all its forms could enslave us. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And I worry about that.
For sure.
That is a worry, right? Like the fact that they already got our brain stems hijacked with their technology, with Reels and TikTok, and then the fact that I don't really know how to fight it.
Oh, dude. Okay, so this gets super interesting. So did I send you this? So this guy decided to see how accurate 23andMe. Did I send you this? Because this is a crazy story. See if you look this up. This guy did 23andMe with his pets.
Mm.
Sent to 23andMe. 3 months later, he gets it back. They're like, oh, you're part African. You're part blah, blah, blah. You're new. You're Swedish. You're bang, 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 bang.
Really?
Yeah. Like, really, so this is the reason I bring that up is because it kind of fits into this thing that you're talking about technology and how they can make weapons specific to your DNA.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's for sure.
I mean, Israel's been doing that with Palestine. Totally. Yeah. Is this it?
No, it's just it sounds like you're.
They were so accurate with me. They were so accurate with me. They told me what my earlobes looked like, everything. I was like, damn.
Yeah, they're
my fingers like
what?
Really accurate with me as well.
Unbelievable.
What did it say? You're annoying.
Did you ever do it?
No, I'm never gonna do it.
Why?
Why? Because I don't want to.
They already have your DNA, brother.
Probably. I got arrested for buying drugs off a hooker. I had to do a DNA test.
Oh, they got your DNA.
Yeah.
So you should just do it.
I don't want to do it.
You should do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
My ancestors were here before your guys.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're part Moore?
What?
Yeah, my ancestors were here.
Mayflower,
you got black stuff?
1770, 1780, Virginia tobacco farmers.
Wow.
Oh, my God. You owned slaves, bro?
We didn't own slaves.
Let me get this right. Dylan's family were the ones who owned a tobacco farm, and they were a bunch of Jews picking tobacco. No,
that's not the Jewish side.
That's not the Jewish side.
The Jewish side came over probably in
the
late 1800s.
The pogroms, yeah.
Yeah.
The pogroms.
Yeah.
The pogroms.
The pogroms didn't own any slaves.
Well,
pogrom is what they called, it's a Yiddish term, I believe, for essentially when the Tsar would say, hey, we have inflation, let's blame the Jews. And all the Cossacks would go in there and kill or raise the ghetto, and they were pogroms. That's why the Zionist movement was born in the Russian ghetto. And so they were like, we have to get out of here because it was so miserable for our Jews.
All right. Next story.
Where all the diamonds up the asshole came from. But speaking of technology and not knowing what to do with it, the last little wrinkle of this SVB thing is this concern about messaging on social media.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
A Democrat essentially asked whether there was a program in place to censor information on social media that could lead to a run on banks. Oh, my God. And this leads into the story I sent you about the guy who's on trial right now for memes. Did you get story?
Well, hold on. Okay. Hold on. This is an important question. So because with the Sam Bankman-Fried thing, the good news was that guy from Binance said, hey, I'm taking my money out.
Yeah.
Everybody went, wait a minute. Why? And he goes, I don't really know. Essentially, they were like, why is that guy taking $2 billion out all of a sudden, right? Because that guy knew something.
Yeah.
That guy was like, you want to play this game?
Sam Bankman-Fried was an idiot.
Huge fraud.
Idiot, because that guy had so much money in his business.
But it was all FTT tokens, and it wasn't even real. They were taking the money that people were depositing in Bitcoin, real dollars, backed by real dollars, and investing it in doing a terrible job. There were no adults in the room. But it was interesting because all one guy had to say was, I'm taking my money out. And everybody went, wait a minute, what do you know about this? So the question is there a way, you know, the question is, if you have information that could get people to do a run on a bank, right? and it was false information, and everybody panicked and took
money out. And why would they do that, Brian?
It's the equivalent of saying fire in a movie theater.
Why would they do that, Brian?
It's the equivalent of yelling fire in a movie theater.
Is that...
So you have to ask that question.
Controlled demolition?
No. No, it's bad actors who want to make money off of that. Bad actors who want to destroy a competing bank, whatever it might be. There are bad actors out there. So how do you, or just terrorists. So let me ask you a question. That is a real thing. That's a real thing where you could actually yell fire in a movie theater on a digital space and cause a run in the bank. If you're not going to get ready for that, then you're remiss.
Okay.
So what would you do about it? I'm going to give you the helm. What do you do about it? We have a banking
system. I don't want the government censoring.
What do you do though? How do you ensure that, you know, okay, so another thing, you're running for office. You're running for office. And they plant a story that you know is not true. It's just got a kernel of like truth to it, whatever. But it's a lie. And you know, damn it, that it's going to get to the press because it's a story. And all the story's going to say is there is a rumor or there is an allegation or there is a whatever that Sam Tripoli was misallocating funds. And you go to your team, you go, what? And they go, I know, it's not true. And they go, but who put it there? And you lose the election because people go that he might be a little shady because they did it at the right time, the perfect time.
Yeah, it sounds like politics.
What do we do about that? How do we avoid that though?
Nothing. That is politics.
But do you then say to people, so maybe the answer is you do nothing and you say to people, hey, be more, just be aware that a lot of stuff is bullshit out there.
Yeah.
But people get really good at bullshit.
Yeah, but Brian,
don't they? Really good at bullshit.
It's like this is what you're doing. You're giving up freedom for safety.
And good point. But let me ask you this. So would you make the penalties way more extreme for people who are bad actors like that?
Well, I mean, the problem gets like the definition of being like guilty, let's say in slander or something like that, is so hard to prove a lot of times.
It is.
That you're just fucked.
Yeah.
So it's just like.
It's a problem, though. It can cause a lot of damage, especially now when information is this fast. It's a new problem that we're facing. And I don't know that we know how to. We may have old infrastructure. That
but Brian, they've
to the,
been
to
doing this since
technology.
The dawn of time. This is not a new thing.
Yeah, but this
thing.
Is a very, this
there's
is
There's been
this
stories
spontaneous.
Planted the lie
but there's
about
a difference.
Politicians forever.
But you have to know the difference. There's a difference between spontaneous things that go everywhere and change people's minds. So I don't know. Maybe the answer is.
Brian, I have a real problem with the government trying to censor information that could tell us whether you have a bunch of money in the bank. And so your bank's unstable. They don't want you to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the answer would be that you have to make it very, very painful for people to do spread that malicious information.
Well, I mean, the problem is now, Brian, is that we live in a place where lying and where lying is acceptable, and that's just the world we live in. And I would rather have the information out there for me to make a decision than not have the information because the government didn't want me to know.
I agree with you. I think what I would do is this. People always say misinformation and malinformation. I got it. I think what we have to do, human beings would figure out that there's a lot of bullshit out there. A lot. Okay, so you'd read an article and you'd be like, I don't know. So all of us would go, I don't know. But what I do think it would do It would open up channels of real information. Like there'd be so much incentive to get information that you knew you could verify that was true. And those are the companies that would rise
to the
top.
Well, the problem right now, Brian, is that there's no mechanism in place to call out the liars.
Well, yeah.
The people that used to do it, which was the media and law enforcement, are no longer in that business.
So what do we do? But that's a big problem.
That is a big
CNN
problem.
Stopped being listened to because they lost a lot of their credibility.
Yeah, because they
people
lost all
like,
their credibility.
I don't believe you guys.
People don't trust cops anymore because they're always on the side of they're always committing crimes or they're protecting the wrong fucking people. So that's just the way it is. So until we get to the point where ethics and integrity matter, it's going to be a little crazy at first. But I really want to get into this story that I sent you. There's this guy going on trial today. This guy is on trial because they're saying his memes, Joe Biden is saying that his DOJ is saying that posting memes affected the outcome of an election. Like, dude, this is insanity to me. This is insanity. Do you want to read any of it?
Yeah, it's more influence on NBC, CNN,
Coca-Cola. Read out loud.
Ricky Rose, the famous, a brilliant Twitter personality. At his peak, he was more influential than NBC, CNN, and the Colbert Report. He reached and energized millions. He had a talent for making Hillary Clinton look foolish and for eviscerating journalists. President Trump was elected in part because of the groundswell he helped mobilize. They never forgot this. In 2018, mere days after Biden took office, Doug was charged with election interference, arrested by the FBI. They'd been sitting on the case and finally saw their chance to strike. Remember, for years they had been trying to get Trump, completely false Russian collusion allegations. If they couldn't get Trump, they'd get one of his supporters. He's accused of committing a crime for posting on Twitter. Specifically, the DOJ alleges that he engaged in a conspiracy to defraud people of their voting rights by posting a satirical meme. But I don't know more. I need to know more about
that. Okay, look it up. What is that? That sounds like the violation of your First Amendment.
Well, let's be careful about getting our information from Twitter. Let that sit for a second.
Brian, what are you talking about?
That's not Coca-Cola. That's not Coca-Cola.
You are.
Let's let that sit.
No, that's just disgusting.
When you guys are ready for Coca-Cola.
Brian, what do you think? Let's just say, I want you to spitball right here and use that incredible, creative, comedic brain you have. And come up with a scenario that you think that the government should arrest a guy for posting memes. Go on.
They didn't arrest him for posting memes. No one has ever been arrested for posting memes.
Okay,
no.
Here it is, Brian. Here it is. Social media charge. Here we go. Can you click that so Brian can read some of it? Of conspiring with others in advance of the U.S.
Private individual that wrote right to it.
Read out loud.
Florida man was arrested this morning on charges of conspiring with others in advance of the 2016 U.S. presidential election to use various social media platforms to disseminate misinformation designed to deprive individuals of their constitutional right to vote. Douglas Mackey, Ricky Vaughn, 31, of West Palm Beach, was charged by criminal complaint in the Eastern District of New York. He is taken into custody this morning, West Palm Beach, and made his initial appearance before U.S. Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart of the Southern District of Florida. According to the allegations in the complaint, the defendant exploited a social media platform to infringe one of the most basic and sacred rights guaranteed by the Constitution, the right to vote, said Nicholas McQuaid, acting Assistant Attorney General of the Justice Department Criminal Division. This complaint underscores the department's commitment to investigating and prosecuting those who would undermine citizens' voting rights. There is no place in public discourse for the lies and misinformation to defraud citizens of their right to vote, said Seth D. Ducharme, acting U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. I read very, very strongly. With Mackey's arrest, we serve notice that those who would subvert the democratic process in this manner cannot rely on the cloak of internet anonymity to evade responsibility for their crimes. They will be investigated, caught, and persecuted.
Okay, so here's where you get to.
So this is what I'm saying. This is where I'm saying that I agree when somebody commits crimes, when somebody is actually destructive with misinformation like that, and I don't know how he stopped people from voting.
Well, what he's saying, you were about to get to it right there.
Let's get to it. You can bring it up, Dylan, because I know you don't have an attention span, you son of a bitch. Let me read what actually happened. Sorry, guys.
Would you close the window?
No, I didn't close
it. Man. Just bring the window back up.
Okay, right there it says what he did.
Go back. Open it again.
It says...
All right.
Tweeted... Okay.
The complaint alleged that in 2016, Mackey established an audience on Twitter with approximately 58,000 followers. A February 2016 analysis, the MIT Media Lab ranked Mackey as the 107th most important influencer of the then-upcoming election, ranking his account above outlets and individuals such as NBC News, Stephen Colbert.
Just a little bit. Go up a little bit. Mackey allegedly, there it is, that top line. Read that top, the top.
Protecting every citizen's, American citizen's right to cast a legitimate vote is key to the success of our republic, said William Sweeney. Blah, blah, blah. When Mackey allegedly did, what Mackey allegedly did to interfere with the process by soliciting voters to cast their ballots via text, amounted to nothing short of vote theft. It is illegal behavior and contributes to the erosion of the public's trust in the election process. Yeah, he's a vandal.
Hold on.
He may have been powerful. He may have been a powerful social media influencer at the time, but a quick internet search of his name today will reveal an entirely different story. Okay, so he had a lot of influence. As alleged in the complaint between November 2016, in the lead up to the November 8th, 2016 U.S. presidential election, Mackey conspired with others to use social media platforms, including Twitter, to disseminate fraudulent messages designed to encourage supporters of one of the presidential candidates to vote via text message or social media, a legally invalid method of voting. For example, and that's legit. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that.
Brian, I mean, I can't wait to hear the details of this. Because it sounds like he was joking. Okay.
Mackey allegedly tweeted an image featuring an African-American woman standing in front of the African-American, of African-Americans for whatever sign. The image included the following text. Avoid the line, vote for from home. Text, blah, 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 to this, that, the other thing. Vote for the candidate and be part of history. He orchestrated social media and his platform to say to essentially steal votes. Okay. That is illegal.
Where's the illegal. The bell?
He's going to jail.
For who?
Oh, can you push it over?
No. No. Why?
Thank you, buddy.
Oh my! You guys are absolutely ridiculous. I can tell you exactly what he was doing. He was joking about how stupid.
He wasn't joking. He came up with a very, very intricate way of getting people to think that they were voting for the other candidate to steal votes.
Okay, that's illegal. I wrap it up. Time to go home. You are a comedian, Brian. You're saying that he should be tried by the U.S. government for a freaking joke, bro? He's making fun of mail-in balloting. It's so obvious.
He's committing fraud.
Oh, you're gross. You're a gross man. You're a gross man.
You're mulch.
You're mulch and you're gross.
You're mulch.
Okay?
And Coca-Bola.
You're a gross man.
Coca-Bola.
I'm embarrassed.
Might be grossly beautiful.
No, you are the grossest of gross.
Might be grossly beautiful.
You're mulch.
I cannot believe a comic is saying a guy should be tried for what is obviously a joke.
Well, I think the trial will probably be the defense of the trial. I think he's up for trial and that's going to be their defense. Which is
so? Give me this
and
back.
They're gonna play offensive. And they're gonna play this section from the podcast with Sam Tripoli freaking out and saying, "I'm mulch."
I say you're gross. Gross man doing gross things.
You're mulch.
You're gross.
Wait, I have earmuffs, or
no? He's mulch.
What?
No, Sam's mulch, and we know that, and it's fine.
We don't know that, guys. Another great episode. I thought I crushed.
Yeah, it was good. Really excited.
I thought Dylan had a really bad show. Callan, you tried. All right, so
I got to ring the bell.
You did not ring the bell. You should unring that bell.
223.
Our little ladybug friends are so sad right now that a comedian thinks that the U.S. government should be taking somebody in for comedy and a joke.
Hey.
Oh my God. Gross.
Subscribe.
Guys, hit the subscribe button. Tell your friends about it. Share the video. Leave us positive comments because the YouTube algorithm loves positive comics. And we have so many people for the show, and it's growing day by day. A lot of you guys are like, this should have way more views. It should.
Sorry. I want to play this song too.
I'm trying to take care of business here.
It's great. Rate and et
cetera. Review.
Why we build a wall, we build a wall to keep us free.
How does the wall keep us free? Oh, keeps us the enemy and the walls to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free.